got it back to the blue line. The Leafs are able to break it out, and Marner is with Matthews in across the line. 2-on-1 to Matthews. Scores! Holy mackerel! What a one-timer! And Austin Matthews continues to sizzle on his way to 40 goals in this season.
Another night, another 4-1 victory. The Maple Leafs extend the win streak to 4 games. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Leafs Nation post-game podcast. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick on Twitter. Thanks to producer Sam McKee for putting it all together. And even after making wholesale changes to the lineup here in the back-to-back, Toronto has no problem around with this Vancouver Canucks team. 4-1 the final. The Canucks look rather gassed in this one. But Gord, since the 5-game winless skid, the Maple Leafs have rattled off 4 in a row as they hunt down the division title here.
Yeah, another one bites the dust, Nick, right? Like, bring on the playoffs is kind of the feel right now. I went back to that Vancouver game a week ago Sunday, and I found it disconcerting. And really, since those games against Vancouver, the Maple Leafs have got back on track and back at a good place, and another impressive win tonight.
So on the season, the Maple Leafs now 4-3-1 against the Vancouver Canucks. It was like a carbon copy of the victory against Montreal, where I thought Toronto had a dominant start, and once they felt, you know, Montreal had no shot, that was it. Cruise control from there, I should say. Even the fact that Nylander scores the first goal, Matthews scores the second goal, and again, another victory. Matthews, another game-winning goal. He's been on fire, and it just seems like he's stalking 40 goals at this point, doesn't it, Gord?
Boy, he strikes. Huh? He strikes with that quick shot. I mean, last night it was more spectacular, but today more from the side, but so quick. You're right. You know, it's just what a pleasure to watch. He has been really since day number one, but just oozing an element of confidence, I think, that way about, and I hope that permeates through a team, because he did. He was the one guy. Maybe there was one or two others, I can't remember, but he was the one guy that played well against Columbus in the bubble last summer. And yeah, he's really seeming to bring it, want to be in a certain projection individually, and the team seems to be going that direction as far as the regular season about to end.
The 11th game-winning goal of the season just speaks volumes to the type of campaign Austin Matthews is having. Now 36 goals, he needs 4 in his final 6 games to get to 40, but it seems like it's going to be a cruise to get to the Rocket Richard, at least. Speaking of cruising, Gord, I didn't notice much in terms of the workload of David Rittich. Vancouver looked gassed, didn't they?
Yeah, they really did. And I say that with empathy. I say that with empathy. You know, we're talking to Jim Neal earlier about what the Dallas Stars have been through. They had 2 hiccups along the way in restarts, and it's tough. But the Canucks had the largest stop of anybody. It was late in the year, and you know, the Leafs kind of gave him some hope with those 2 wins early on. But, man, it's so many games. You can't even practice. You can't even, you know. And, again, even in the Canucks case, because they got hit so hard by it, harder than any other team, apparently, as far as COVID goes, that, you know, you're flat out exhausted. I think Travis Green played the card that he doesn't do very often last night, where he really reamed them out when they were down 3-0. That's not really his style, but he just thought he had to try to do something to jumpstart them. But they're, you know, there was an element, Nick, about they're kind of dead man walking right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got nothing left. Again, what was it, 13 games in 21 days following their break, and you can really, really tell. Again, it's just not to, you know, keep going back to the fact, but I still don't know how the Maple Leafs were embarrassed. I called it an embarrassment losing those 2 games in Vancouver, especially the way the Canucks are playing right now. But we've moved past it. Maple Leafs playing much better as of late. Getting David Rittich that victory is great too as well. 15 saves, not overly tested. But I mentioned off the top, the wholesale changes. Did not see that coming, but Riley Muzzin, Foligno, Campbell out, Hutton, Liljegren, Engvall, and Hutchinson backing up. What did you make of those changes, Gord?
Well, as long as there's not a significant injury with any of those first guys you mentioned that were out, and I don't believe there is, I loved it. I think you just have to get some reps for these guys. You have to hope that you're going to go deep, which means you're going to have to go a little deeper using personnel, whether, you know, it's attrition, it's injuries, it's a number of things. So I like that. I hope he continues to do more of that. I mean, Rasmus Sandin is really, really seized the opportunity since he, 10 days ago, he started getting some reps. Lilligren, I don't quite have at the same level as Sandin right now as far as being NHL ready, but, you know, good to see him play. They got Hutton for a reason, depth on D. You don't want his first game to be in the playoffs. And, you know, the only one I hope out of all these things is that there is, two games that Freddie Anderson ultimately will be able to start. I mean, that's for down the road, but what he controls is, you know, making some changes. And I think right now on the back-to-backs, it's not a bad idea to do it.
Leafs Nation, including producer Sam McKee, fired up with Rasmus Sandin and the way he's playing. One assist, a plus two in this game. He saw more minutes, obviously, with Riley and Muzzin out, and I think he exceeded expectations again, and we're really starting to see the growth the last little while, Gord.
Well, we really are, and I mean, you know, you and I have talked about it before. I found it a bit of a mystery. He had not been given the chance, then he got hurt, so... It's, you know, and I hope that's a way some of the guys in the OHL who didn't get to play any games this year, you can still develop and have a strong season and, you know, move forward that way without playing actual games. It's tough to miss a whole year. Sandin didn't miss a whole year, but he was missing close to it. And it's nice to see that he's made the best of his time. Morgan Riley's a great example. Under Randy Carlyle as the coach, like, he had a whack of games, and I really thought they'd made a mistake having him up as an underage and then missing so many games as a healthy scratch. But it's what you do with that, and it's how you grow rather than stagnate. And, you know, it's not Rasmus Sandin hasn't played like double-digit games, but right now it seems like he's made valuable use of that.
I just love the word maintenance, especially this time of year. They don't want to call it load management, but you got like 7-year-olds playing in like Joe Thornton, Jason Spezza and company, and Wayne Simmonds is a bit older, obviously not to the age of those guys, but guys like Foligno sitting out, Muzzin, Riley, but so be it. And I think we're also at a point where, especially when it comes to Thornton, I think it's more of a detriment than anything to have him out of the lineup, because once he doesn't have it fired up, it's tough to get going again, right?
Yeah, and he missed so many games due to the injury, and you're right. And I think he's back in a flow right now. He's back in a vibe. He's got the wheels going. You can always cut back his minutes. He never is one of those guys that will play 23 minutes in a game that way. So I think, you know, Sheldon Keefe really has a great handle about all aspects of the players, you know, whether, you know, ice time and everything else. And I thought he exhibited that both by who he chose to dress and then by some of the other moves he made tonight.
We got to give a round of applause. You see it through my microphone here in podcast form. Gord, I was just so fired up with a Maple Leaf finally addressing somebody. I know Vancouver media was not happy. Alex Edler should be put on a pedestal, but you have to stand up for your actions. And he laid out Zach Hyman. I think anytime this happens in the league, more times than not, somebody addresses that situation. Wayne Simmonds addressed it. He pumped him real good. Credit to both sides, by the way, and we moved on with the hockey game. There weren't theatrics after it. I had no problem with what went down tonight.
I started applauding with you. I didn't know what I was applauding for yet, but I applauded, and I applaud now again what you had to say. And I can remember years ago when Mark Osborne was my partner on these broadcasts, and it was a Philadelphia-Toronto game, and Dion Phaneuf was getting like a little chirpy and yappy, and there was a face-off against the Philadelphia Flyers. And I forget who the coach of the Flyers was, but he made one move. Wayne Simmonds came out. Mm. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm going to cut the crap. And there still, to me, can be a role for that. I know it's been debated about why does Edler have to fight. But, you know, Wayne Simmonds decided nobody's been accountable for this for, 10 years for the Toronto Maple Leafs, whatever the number may be, maybe going back to the Colton Orr era. It's probably right, going back to the Colton Orr era. And he just decided... And apparently in the pregame warm-up, it was set up. Wayne Simmonds made it clear to Edler this was what's going to happen. You don't ever want a repeat of the Todd Bertuzzi-Steve Moore situation. I think that's everyone's worst fear. And, just went at it. And, you know, Edler, I mean, again, you get to it. If Edler turtles or whatever, you know, is Simmonds looked as a Todd Bertuzzi type for being a bully and beating the crap out of him? I don't know, but you know, Edler decided he would engage, and it looked like he took a cut kind of thing or one on his cheek, and anyway, onwards and upwards. He did a lot worse damage to Zach Hyman. He got a 2-game suspension. I mean, they may be home and watching the playoffs on TV, the Vancouver Canucks, but that was a dirty hit. Doesn't mean he's a dirty player. That was a dirty hit. he did on Zach Hyman.
Yeah, and to be fair, he sort of did turtle in the fight. Like, you could tell he didn't really want to be in it, but he knew, you know, the code, if you will, quote unquote, and he stood up. And I applaud both guys for that, and I'm happy that finally Maple Leaf addressed the situation. We've been talking about all season long. That's exactly why Wayne Simmonds was hired and brought in to this team, to answer the bell in situations like that. So job well done to Wayne Simmonds. And that was sort of something I was looking at the last couple games, certainly the vets, right, and the internal competition. I don't think it's a shock to see these guys going all of a sudden, and a coincidence at that. Guys like Spezza and Simmonds and Thornton post-deadline, the postseason just around the corner, and they know there's some competition around them for playing time, namely Brooks and Engvall, who scored tonight, Gord.
Yeah, I think they're aware of that, but I also think they're aware of a team that they were brought in for leadership, and also some moves were made for grit, sandpaper, whatever you want. And even when Kyle Dubas acknowledged that last summer, because that had been their mantra, and the year before it was the Leafs doubled down on total skill, not worried about size, the way they've drafted all those things. And it's funny because it got out of whack because of the Nazem Kadri situation in two consecutive playoffs. And first, the extreme actions he took that led to a suspension, and then the perception, because he had to take those actions, that the Leafs were a soft team. And it wasn't right. It ended up being a negative. I still, again, I'm not going to physically applaud him, but I understand where Nazem Kadri was coming for. Yeah, okay, yeah. Let's do that. give him credit in a sense, at least the first one about what he's trying to do. And it's not, it's a team, if you want to call it team toughness, team grit, team sandpaper, you know, team playing that heavy hockey. It's not, you know, again, we use Matt Martin as the example. One guy single-handedly, he couldn't. He had to have the aura of being with Clutterbuck or Zizekas or just what, you know, the Islanders had. It's not one guy that can do it. Has to be the team.
You never know what kind of sound effects or ambiance you're going to hear here on the Leafs Nation post-game podcast. Speaking of which, Willie Nylander has been very, very loud with his play. You know, it's sort of ironic ever since he was late or missed a team meeting. He has been on fire, Gord. He's actually the Nylander of, you know, we've seen the last couple of years when he has it, controlling the puck, controlling the game. I thought he was outstanding tonight. How'd you feel?
Yeah, I really did. And I'm not saying like Willie Nylander's been in the doghouse before, and he's kind of seems to be okay handling. He understands the ebbs and flows. But it's interesting with what Paul Maurice did with Mark Scheifele, for example, and we'll see how that plays out, that Sheldon Keefe decided that with Willie Nylander, he cut him a little bit of slack about it. I mean, they did have a couple of injuries in that particular game. And again, nobody ever shares the true facts about everything, but it's understood that, or it's felt that day there was that big phone outage. There wasn't phone service for most of the day and what have you, that Sheldon Keefe didn't have to prove, well, I'm the boss and whatever, that nowadays there was a reasonable explanation on Nylander's part. And Nylander just really has taken that and continued on an excellent level. And I think Sheldon Keefe, you know, he didn't show any sign of weakness by what he did.
And it's funny, you can see by the play of Alex Galchenyuk, the desperation level of his play tonight, you could sense that he knows that the writing could be on the wall come playoff time if he doesn't up his play. So that's why we talk about, it's important to rest guys this time of year, which they did certainly tonight. But for guys like Galchenyuk, you know, their playoff lives, so to speak, at least to begin, are on the line. And I thought he was much better tonight. How'd you feel about his game?
Yeah, I did. It's funny. You know, one of the guys, Jimmy Vesey, who got to play on the second line at the start of the year, is on the other team in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And again, Sheldon Keefe giving Galchenyuk decent ice time and decent opportunities. And I think he's already proved that he could be one of the Spice. I don't want to call him the Spice Boys, but it seems like that's kind of what, if you're not in the top six or what I say top eight, after that, you're one of those guys that can be interchangeable for different reasons. For Sheldon Keefe, I think, for his plans going in the playoffs, and Galchenyuk will be there. He will be there. But from being this pleasant surprise early on, that saying, "Wow, that's like a trade deadline pickup," the way he was playing, that hasn't been the case. But yeah, it was a better effort tonight. Although I really don't know who had a poor effort so much tonight, because there really wasn't much fight in the opponents.
Oh, you're right, and I was almost shocked that Vancouver actually scored, and I was disappointed because it came on the power play. I was ready to come on and say, "Hey, this team is really on the mend, power PK wise, and they're playing much better." Then they surrend a power play goal, but that's sort of what happens sometimes. And you just look at this season in general for Vancouver, you know, a lot of it's been without Elias Pettersson, of course, the COVID break. They just, They look absolutely finished tonight. Just starting this game and the way it went, again, it was, to me, eerily similar to the Montreal game in the back-to-back, Gord.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. And, you know, before they got that huge COVID pause, Vancouver, I think it's two they lost. They lost two in a row, but they'd actually played great. They'd actually played great. They'd actually been on a tear. They'd, you know, looked like they were out of it early and looked like they were coming. And then with what they did against the Leafs, I thought that everyone thought that would be the toughest test there. But once they got over that, not that it would be easy, but I don't know. It just, you know, quite often it's like a lot of things. You'll hear about like an NFL player or something like that playing a football game with 104 temperature and having a phenomenal game and then having to crawl into bed for 5 days or something, you know. And I think in a lot of cases that might have been the Vancouver Canucks that first game or two against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And it's always funny to get both sides of the story. I mentioned earlier, Vancouver media is unhappy with Wayne Simmonds. They felt like he should have got the instigator penalty, but isn't it more so the code of this league, quote unquote, and the way it usually happens? Like, if Edler didn't want to scrap, he wouldn't have dropped his gloves, right, Gord?
It's debatable. It's debatable. You know, it's funny. His, I don't like using the expression manhood, whatever you want to call the term, being tested or what have you. I think there could be an argument that you Simmonds could have got the minor penalty. And you know, but again, for a city that went through the Todd Bertuzzi thing, I know it's a long time ago. I understand that, but nah, give me a break. That was a cheap, dirty hit that really injured Zach Hyman. Fortunately, Alex Edler isn't hurt to that degree. You don't want to see anyone get hurt, but yeah, no, I'm cool with it. I would have expected it if, you know, pick a defenseman on the Leafs that had done it and the puck was dropped and someone on Vancouver came at him in the same fashion.
And again, it just shows you how much the game has changed in, say, the last 15 years, where it would have almost been elementary 15 years ago that this would have happened. And now it's happened and it's caused a big stir, although nothing came of it after. And it went down exactly the way it should have went down, that they scrapped and we moved on and everybody was accountable for their actions. And that's the way it should be, Gord. And next thing you know, Gord, there's six games remaining in this regular season. Next up, another date, a home date to wrap up the season series with the Vancouver Canucks coming up on Saturday night on 680 News. Can't wait for this one. 4-3-1 in the season against Vancouver. And I think it's the expectations. We'll see guys like Riley, Muzzin, and Foligno, and probably Campbell back in the lineup.
Yeah, I would think we would. And, you know, and again, to me, the code in a lot of ways that people scratch your head is when you level someone with a clean hit, why do you have to fight?
Yeah.
And I'm with that. I don't understand that sometimes, but a dirty hit's different. Saturday. Yeah. It's kind of like, boy, we're not used to this. If you've been following the Toronto Maple Leafs to be so home and cooled out for the playoffs, usually there's always been, you know, mathematical chances that you had to keep going at it. And then, hey, first place, even when they won Stanley Cups, and I know that's a long time ago, whatever it is, they only came first place one of the four times they won Stanley Cups in the 60s. And even the four times, twice under Pat Burns and twice under Pat Quinn, that they've made it to the Final Four. I think they only came first in the division once. So it's not something that Leaf fans have been able to celebrate. So why not? Why not? Let's go get it.
And of course, the key right now is to stay motivated and not get complacent. As we've seen time and time again with plenty of teams we thought were perennial contenders to do something in the playoffs. And I think that's part and parcel why Sheldon Keefe elected to make some changes and put some hungry guys in the lineup who wanted to make you know, their voices heard. Guys like Ben Hutton, who come over in a depth move at the deadline from the Anaheim Ducks. You know, I think that is the key. I know six games are remaining. And the other thing we'll be watching as well, Austin Matthews scored. If I were to put you on the spot right now, which I'm about to, does he get to 40 goals? He needs 4 and 6 to wrap up this season.
Okay, I'm getting caught up in the wave right now. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes. That's a stunning number in this shortened season. But I just, you know, last year I really, the pause, there's way, way worse things. But I was really, really loving the race with Pastrnak and Alexander Ovechkin. And I'm still curious. They played all 82 games. If Austin might not have won it. But like I said, this year he's put himself in a whole different stratosphere as far as it goes.
And I liked what you said on Sportsnet 590 The Fan on Thursday, that he already, in your eyes, could be the best Maple Leafs goal scorer of all time. I know you mentioned it on the podcast last night. I'm right there with you. Just every night, he does something different. Like, he did the spinorama tonight. I never saw that coming. In Montreal on Wednesday night, it was the crazy, you know, hand-eye, and then the quick release. Like, it just seems like he has so much in that toolbox, Gord.
Well, and social media, which is really your territory that you excel in so many ways, I had to make it clear after, because I know Ricky Vive quite well. I know Daryl Sittler really well. He's a neighbor. I know Matt Sundin well, not as well as the other guys. I respect all they've done. And it's not a slight against those three guys. It's not a slight at all. I look at Boreas Salming as the gold standard of Leaf defensemen that I've seen, and I kind of use it from 1970 on, so I'm not counting the teams that won Stanley, or players that won Stanley Cups in the 1960s. But yeah, I just thought, and last night having it at home, that, you know, I saw Ricky Vive score 350 goal seasons. I'm just talking about, wow. Like, Ricky was never up there in the Hart Trophy voting or what have you. I mean, Auston Matthews, he's that kind of guy. Like he is the real deal that way. And just the way he scored that goal last night with all the different elements that went into it was phenomenal.
Would you say the torch has officially been passed from Alex Ovechkin to Auston Matthews as the league's top goal scorer?
You know, that, and it's funny, that debate. I always thought Alex Ovechkin was going to break the record. Mm-hmm. I think COVID may cost him that, which is really, really unfortunate. Answer your question, though, yes. A lot of it is, even though Alexander Ovechkin is ageless, that's a small part of it. The bigger part is what, like, every year how Auston Matthews has brought his game up. Like, you know, Connor McDavid and Auston Matthews, back-to-back years, they were the underage guys that played center. Like, you don't play, like, center, you got, like, that's a real hard position. Quite often you play wing for a year and you move to center if you're an 18 or 19-year-old, because you got to learn to play both ends of the ice and all these things. And I just like, and then even his shooting style, how he just worked on, you know, the release, the angle, the, you know, like the whole thing. Like, I know he didn't get an A plus in physics, but as far as it pertains to trajectory and figuring out his shot and all that stuff, he gets an A plus in that, Nick.
And I think he's got to be a finalist at this point for the Hart Trophy, just the type of season he's having. And we'll leave on this note, the number 55, what does it mean to you in Leafs greatness, Gordon?
55, what, Larry Murphy?
No, Ben Hutton, also worn by Andreas Borgman, Victor Love, and Corbinian Holzer. Number 55 for Ben Hutton in your program, Gord. Do they still make programs?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, number hot chestnuts programs, all that. I forgot what number Larry Murphy wore. I thought it was, anyway, it doesn't really matter. But
You're right.
Yeah. He was kind of the, well, no, we said everything, you know, and yeah. I like that the guy seems to have some kind of personality and pizzazz, I think, because there's an element of seriousness with the Leafs, which I respect. But I think that with Joe Thornton coming on board, you need a little bit of looseness. And he seems like, when I say loose cannon, I say that with affection, that, you know, you need somebody that can do that. And Brian Burke talked about that. He talked about when he was with the Anaheim Ducks and they won the Stanley Cup, like he needed to bring in some personality. A couple of guys that were loud. Brad May was one of them, just because you need that if you got a dressing room that's a little too serious.
Can never have enough locker room guys, goes without saying. We have plenty here at Leafs Nation. Gord, excellent stuff. And we'll reconvene coming up on Saturday night, wrapping up the season series with the Vancouver Canucks, starting with Leafs Nation pregame at 6:30. Don't forget, the game will be on 680 News on Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to get a great, like we do on 590, same thing with 680, a great range that way. And let's see if the Leaf juggernaut can keep going.
Can we get Paul Cook on to do the Sokolov report at the intermission?
You know, Paul Cook's on my men's curling team. We didn't get this past year, but yeah, and he's a huge fan. He's a huge fan of the Fan and a huge Toronto Maple Leaf fan. So let's see if we can get him on instead of Zach Hyman to do the Sokolov ad. I'm sure he would do that.
It's a long ad right now. Okay, Gord, we'll talk on Saturday, okay?
Sounds good, Nick.
All right, there you have it. Professional broadcaster Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. Many thanks to Sam McKee for putting it all together. The Maple Leafs win at 4-1. They've won four in a row.